a lot. Been taking three flavors. Shoot the nigga now, we speak later. Up with me, got the Mac with me, hit behind the Warhol. Dip the Bergdorf, shut up the whole store. Cherry 57 in the back, learning lessons. Crack it, drying it, be ready in a second. 40 chains on, halo, I'm a guard nigga. Fear a guard, jogging, rockin' nigga. I don't even jog, hanging out the wagon, sunroof. Pick the nigga off. The meal with the chill bezel. All my phones ready, make me feel special. Banana pill, AK, I'm looking real extra. With the cop keys, I'm on the green Teslas. So Virgil, right brick on my brick.
Right brick on my brick. Right brick on my brick.
So Virgil, right brick on my brick. Ayo, I'm married still with cash, I'm in the fashion district. Shoot your mama house before I have to pick it. All my niggas stealing, all my niggas killing. The niggas try to test me, now the niggas missing. Milk quarters still awesome. Water whip coke, I still faucet rosé.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Skills. We are back to another episode of Spokecast. What it do?
Salute. What it do in the building, man? Starting with off with West Side Gun. Fire, fire.
Drew Gulak is an animal, dude.
A beast. Can't wait.
I'm excited to have him on the man. I'm so excited. Let's get the president in here to prove to everyone he was on time tonight. What's up, brother?
I've been on time for weeks.
You have been on time for weeks. I don't like it.
Thanks. Phil, what it do, Phil?
I don't like it. And Donnie, what's up, Donnie?
Yes, what up, sirs? That was an impressive video. Mr. Gulak definitely can bring it.
Damn right he can. And that's coming from the Uber cheer dad right there. Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, brothers. Woot woot on fire.
Speaking of whoop whoop, let's get him in here. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, what up, y'all? Just want to give y'all a quick little bang. Ooh. And a whoop whoop. Got that Faygo root beer. Shouts out West Side Gun. Shouts out Drew Gulak. That video was just what I needed to get me ready for Spokecast, man. I haven't heard bars like that in, you know, quite a long time. So salute.
I second up, that. I second that, whatever Tommy just said. I want some of that root beer.
Yeah.
I like well, this is actually... Oh, this Faygo root beer, I would say it's comparable to A&W of the on the root beer spectrum. You go from the Bargs over to the A&W, and somewhere in the middle you get what is it, the one with the bulldog on it? Someone help me out here.
Mugs.
Yeah, mugs. It's either Bargs or A&W. I think this is leaning towards the A&W side.
Yes, I have raspberry iced tea from Wawa. See that?
Do you remember Heyer's root beer?
Yeah, it was a shits.
Heyer's root beer. I used to love that.
Stewart's ain't bad either. Stewart's root beer.
Stewart's is over.
They have all different flavors too, like strawberries and cream and lime soda and stuff.
It's that ain't really root good. Beer. No,
it's still good.
No. When you start putting all these garbage flavors in, and it's not the same. Root beer is root beer. That's the flavor. Stop tinkering with it.
I agree, Donnie. Anything else is an offshoot.
I think I always just get like whatever's on sale, the generic brand root beer at the store.
How droll.
RC Cola.
Real needs a GoFundMe.
Real quick, guys. I want to know where you guys stand, just to get it out of the way, because there's been a lot of discourse on social media lately, and I'm sure it's existed for, you know, since the beginning of time, since man could shop. Are we team Wawa or team Sheetz? Because me personally, I'm more partial to Wawa. I love Wawa. The sandwiches.
Yeah, cool. Me too. I'm a Wawa.
So. I'm Sheetz. You know who was Sheetz? Trent Acid was a Sheetz. Was like the really? First Sheetz fan. Dude, when we used to go to Reading for Jimmy Dio and for Bad Crew, he used to get so excited to go to Sheetz.
I remember we went in a few times. Yeah, I don't remember him being a mark for it. Maybe he was.
Yeah, because they had the touch screens back then, bro, in like 2001.
Yeah, I remember doing his orders for him. Because he wanted me to pay for it. That's why.
It was like Danger, Ginger, you take that back.
No, I'm sorry. I agree with Ginger, because here's the thing. Sheetz had me because I would see Faygo at Sheetz. So for a while, Sheetz had the upper hand. But then once you've had an actual Wawa sandwich, it defeats everything on the Sheetz menu. That there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you like the gimmick coffees and stuff, you know, I that's not a hill that I'm gonna die on. But the Wawa sliced sandwich is definitive to any sheet sandwich.
If they still have their food in stock. So there's a Wawa about 9 miles up the street from me. And sometimes when I go there, it's like, I want a grilled chicken salad. Guess what protein they have that day? Fried chicken. Okay, well, I'll get a sub instead. Sorry, we only have fried chicken. We don't have ham. We don't have turkey. We don't have steak. We don't have beef. I'm like,
I never encountered that.
And so Tim Dantz, who just did Wrestle Party this weekend, had a podcast a couple years ago where he's like, let's do a taste test. Let's do a taste test of the Pennsylvania branded store. So Wawa, Sheetz, Rutter's, and let's do a taste test. Wawa was the only one that couldn't fill the orders of all the food that we needed because they just didn't have the food in stock. It was the weirdest thing. And so ever since then, it was like, you know what? I was like 50-50. I've totally turned on the side of Team Sheetz.
Wow. Well, guys, that's actually a kind of good segue to our guest tonight. Guys, we have Nunchuck Tyler with us tonight. And in a little bit, probably in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we'll have Simon Gotch. But guys, Tyler lives, I believe, in the Reading, PA area, which is smack dab in the border between Sheetz and Wawa country. So let's show tonight's
former home of peace.
Yeah, so let's show everyone. This is tonight's show, and then we'll bring him in, all right?
Miserable? Not anymore. You found your answer. Nunchuck Tyler is here. No more misery. We are not suffering anymore because suffering sucks. And we're not going to suffer because Nunchuck Tyler, he will not make you suffer anymore today. You're going to be so freaking happy that Nunchuck Tyler is here today. Oh, yeah, he's so freaking awesome. It's Nunchuck Tyler trying to make your day better.
Better. Hell yeah. I love it. Without any further ado, everybody, here he is. Nunchuck Tyler. What's up, brother?
What's up? How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much.
Dude, first I want to introduce you to everyone. Tommy, Skills, Donnie, and Phil. This is the panel. Say hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Tyler, we're all about positivity. We're trying to spread positive energy. I think that's the reason the algorithm on Instagram hooked us up with you. But bro, you're doing so good, man. And you just refuse to do anything but positivity. Unbridled, you're fearless, bro. I gotta say, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about you and what made you do this, bro.
So, my actual name is Tyler Johnson. I live in Reading, so I prefer Sheetz. That's just me. So
good man.
I've always loved weapons and stuff, but I never really had the money for them because when I was growing up. As a young adult and, till just about last year, I was a drug addict. So I had a lot of drug problems. I was in and out of rehabs. Finally, a friend of mine overdosed and died last year. My best friend, actually.
Oh, my God.
And, it really hit me hard and some legal issues on top of that. So I went to rehab and I got out and I was doing great. I got some money finally. You know, I never had money as an adult because I would just spend it all.
Of course.
So I finally started doing what I love doing. I like knives and weapons. So I started collecting knives and that just evolved into like everything else. And the nunchucks was like the second like big thing that I got. And I just loved it. It happened in August. I started making YouTube videos. And then I'd say sometime in November, I started TikTok and Instagram, and they took off for me. Unlike YouTube, I don't have too many subscribers on YouTube right now, but TikTok and Instagram definitely took off for me. But people love the positive energy, and that's what I'm trying to spread because there's so much evil and hate out there, and life does suck sometimes, and I completely understand that. You know, I've been down those bad spots. So I'm just trying to say, like, I'm here, I'm able to do this. So everybody, you know, if they have it in them,
coach,
can do what they want.
Tyra.
Hell yeah, man. And dude, I got to say, when I watch your content, I can't help but be in a good mood. You know, I was in a religious order a couple years ago. And one of the things they said is renew your joy every day. And I didn't realize it was up to us to do that, but you realize that. And you're like Mr. Rogers. Like, these kids wake up and they see Tyler and they get to sing your song, bro. That's no joke, man. And that's why we're here to help get the word out about you. Because when I first found out about you, you had like 20,000 followers. Now you're almost up to 40 and it's only been like 3 weeks. So you're like blowing up, bro.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Congratulations. Not
see
easy.
That? Yeah. Cool? I like this. He reminds me of Andrew, the power of positivity. I like that. Tyler, are you familiar with the Costco guys?
I am not.
All right. They're big TikTok guys too, and they're all about positivity and happiness and good vibes. That's kind of what I think you're in the same vein there. So you keep plugging along, brother. I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, definitely. It was just a matter of me like actually videotaping myself, and I got comfortable doing that, and things really took off, and I love it. I love all my fans. I love everything about it.
You got, bro, I got to ask you. I wouldn't, the people would hate me if I didn't ask. Do you have your chucks?
Yeah, you want me to do some nunchucks?
You got to do some nunchucking. But before you do that, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Queued up and ready to go.
Yep.
All right, you guys, a live.
That was my turtle.
As long as it's not Donatello.
Do we want two or one? I could do two.
Whatever you want, bro. Whoa. Here we go. We need some chucking music.
Now, did you just practice with them, or did you train with somebody, or?
No, they're not legal to carry around in my state. I'm not really a fighter, so I'd probably end up running away from somebody because I don't want to have to fight anybody, because this would be a pretty bad weapon to use. I would not want to get hit by nunchucks.
No. I was saying earlier, if we can get you a Michelangelo outfit, you come to the casino and you do the demonstration, you don't have to worry about it hurting your back because you'll have a shell on your back.
Right? No, definitely.
Now, Tyler, I have a question. A lot of people don't know this, but our own president, Phil, is kind of a master of the dark arts of the Orient, and he's actually a second-degree black belt. A lot of people don't know this. He doesn't really talk about it. Are you a purveyor of the fine arts of hand-to-hand combat as well, or just nunchuckery?
I only do nunchucks. Nunchucks and balisong knives, but yeah, it's kind of just a hobby. I just got into it one day. I learned on YouTube, but I would like to learn a martial arts. I've been thinking about doing some form of kung fu.
That'd be awesome. We have a karate demonstration. Whoa. Korean Tang Sudo Karate, I believe it is. And that's going to be on the 27th there, hosted by Todd Rod. So maybe at our next event after this, it can be hosted by Nunchuck Tyler.
Yeah. Maybe a demonstration of weapons. Phil's katana blades versus the nunchucks of Nunchuck Tyler.
Yep.
Tyler, you ever got hurt doing that?
My elbow's actually hurt right now. And I've hit my shins before. And I hit myself in the nose on a live earlier. It's not in the nose. But it happens. I'm playing with weapons. I'm probably going to get hurt at some point.
Well, we're wrestlers, dude. We all get hurt at some point, right? When you get into the wrestling business, bro, they tell us you're going to get hurt at some point. And when you get into the nunchuck social media business, they got to tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
Johnny, anyone who's ever been in the nunchuck social media business has got injured.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Just need a good plastic surgeon. They go together.
Skills. Do you have any skills with nunchucks or weapons of any kind?
Wow.
Guys, I have an announcement to make about Skills, by the way. He's hiding something from all of us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, today's a special day for Skills, everyone.
Oh! Hey.
Woo-hoo.
Huh?
Oh my god. I can't get us off now.
Tommy looks thrilled.
Tommy wasn't even paying attention.
How old is Skills? Where is Skills?
We got rid of him. Nope. Look at him.
Oh. How old are you, Skills?
21.
Oh my goodness.
I believe him.
Look, all the happy birthdays are coming in now.
Appreciate it, everybody.
Hashtag Amazon wish list.
Yes. Yes. That's over.
Wow. Happy birthday, Skill.
I appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, Tyler, I got to tell you, bro, you were here for a monumental night. Skill's birthday. We appreciate you coming on. We're going to do some news now. If you want to stick around and give some reaction to news headlines, that's up to you.
Yeah. Let's hear his views on wrestling.
Let's do it. All right. So, guys, I have a new segment for us tonight. It's called Big News. All right.
So we do
it on Tuesdays. So on Tuesdays, me and Robbie have the Spo City, which will be tomorrow night. We have Black Dahly and a surprise guest. And we do TMZ headlines. So we're going to try not to do TMZ tonight. We're just going to do regular news headlines. And I want to hear what you guys have to say about it, like what your first impression is, okay? Sound good?
Sure.
All right. So let's see. Here's our first one, you guys. You're 47% more likely to get sick at Disney World if you touch the handrails. That's a pretty specific number.
I'm going to call bullshit on that.
Okay. So you think you're getting sick regardless?
No, because I have done the underground tour at Disney, the Keys to the Kingdom, and I've seen the sanitation system that's implemented every night and by workers that you don't even see walking around. It's probably one of the cleanest places in the world is Disney, believe it or not. Even though you
No, it is.
It is. I've seen it. I've seen what they do underground. So I don't know about that. I mean, you could say that about anything.
Anything.
So I call BS on that.
Right. I have to back Donnie up because contrary to actual, you know, like scientific data and contrary to the amount of people that are at Disney, it is one of the cleanest places you'll ever find. You know, I give them that.
All right. All right. Here's a good one. We're going to switch to wrestling. Now, this blew my mind. You guys probably all know about this. All right. So someone has accused Jade Cargill of using an ab filter. Have we heard? Is there such thing as an ab filter now?
You don't have to look it up.
I know Devin used to color in his abs with like a charcoal pencil. Devin used to do that, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty goddamn obvious by looking at Jade Cargill that she's in shape. I don't think she has to resort to an ab filter. If that was my stomach, then you guys might call BS that there's an ab filter, but not on Jade.
Well, what's it? Is it when you click the box that says "touch up my appearance" and then you put the camera on your abs? It's an ab filter. Is that what happens?
I guess, but
I guess so.
Apparently, on the app YouCam, it'll do a scan of like a person and recognize this is the torso, but it looks very AI generated. It looks almost like a cartoon has covered up this section of your body.
I'm gonna have to call BS because I've seen Jade up close and in person back in AEW, and you know she has only gotten in better shape since then. So you know
she's beautiful.
You know, yeah. Well, on top of that, she's a super athlete. So it's it's a non-question.
Storm vibes, right?
Yeah. No, oh, absolutely, Storm from X-Men vibes.
I will say this quickly though. In that match, I think Trinity Fatu has done an incredible job the last few weeks of being the perfect foil for this, and she has more than upheld herself in this match. I think she's been one of the unsung heroes of that entire division, number one. I'm a big Trinity fan.
Oh, absolutely.
I think she's gone toe-to-toe with her this entire time. And, I think Trinity's great. I always have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, she comes from wrestling royalty. She is wrestling royalty. So she's always going to be dependable in that role. And I think, whatever the verb is or phrase for people shine brightest under pressure, I think that's what you're seeing right now is that while the attention might, you know, feel like it's on Jade, but in actuality, she's showing herself to be the true pro.
Yep.
Right. Right. Is it Trinity isn't, from New York, the girl from New York.
No, she was in ECW. That was the girl with the dark hair, Trinity.
Okay, I remember. Yep.
Trinity fought too. Jim, one of the Usos, I think it's Jey Uso's wife. One of their wives. I don't know who. Escapes me.
Naomi.
Here's the next one, you guys. Are you ready for this? Check out, you all know Ralph Fiennes, right? He played like Voldemort, right? Boom.
Wow.
Hell yes.
That's wild.
Dude, is that the ad filter?
That's the ad filter in work.
How old is he?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. I got to look that up. But guys, we have, I realized something. We have our own version in wrestling of Ralph Fiennes. Right here. The Ralph Fiennes of pro wrestling, Eric Bischoff. Look at this.
Uncle Eric's looking pretty jacked there. What's that from?
That's from 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, Johnny's dude. Obsessed with Eric Bischoff.
I am, dude. That's when
I don't think he's seen the video when
I sent it to him.
Oh, he did. He seen that.
I can see Johnny being friends with him. Yeah, I could see Johnny hanging out with Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, sure. I would. I would love to. I would love to, man. Hell yeah.
But yes, you bark for Bischoff, yeah.
So this dude, he's going to have to play some role in a movie soon, and it'll become apparent why he's in this kind of shape, is my guess.
Yeah, nobody's walking around that because they're bored. You know what I mean? Like,
no, not at his age. And
how old is he?
He's got to be in his 60s.
I'll say 62. All right, there you go. He's 10 years older than me.
God bless him.
And it's Ralph Fiennes. So it's like, I feel like we're saying it wrong. Ralph Fiennes, 62.
That is crazy.
Yeah, hell yeah. So, Tommy, you were talking earlier that when Steve Corino was on Jasmine St. Clair's podcast, he admitted to being a stunted 12-year-old, remember?
Yes.
Well, check this out. Most people are trapped at ages 8 to 12 emotionally and mentally.
I believe it, 100%.
I believe it, but I'm going to add another thing to the bottom. Except 8 to 12-year-olds. They're in their 40s.
If that were the case, then send them to work and you know, right. Let us, you know, be 8 to 12-year-olds.
That's right.
I'm here for it. Yeah. Then again, yeah. I was 40 before I was 14. So I'm ready.
That's true. Phil, you were 40 when I met you. Cause so was I, we smelled our own. That's so yeah. True. How old, Donnie, how old would you say you were? We won't show your kids this.
When?
Right now.
I'm 52.
No, I mean, what
emotionally and mentally? Oh, yeah.
I'll say my teens.
Yeah, I think you're
there, like 16, yeah. 18.
No, you have a driver's license already.
Yeah, that's true. I'll take 18. How's that?
Yeah, I'm more give like 14. Like, Donnie, yeah, you got to take me to practice.
Yeah, cool. I got to be older than you guys.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, next one. You guys ready for another headline?
Yes. Sure.
Cheese triggers the same brain response as hard drugs, study explains. Donnie, you've been feeding your kids any cheese?
My girls are big. One of them, they have like a semi lactose intolerance. So I'm not even a big cheese guy. I eat it occasionally at a special meal, but no, I've never done drugs of any kind, so I can't talk to this. I have no idea if cheese is the same as drugs.
Oh, geez.
I've never had drugs. I've never done them.
Tyler. Cheese the same as drugs, brother?
Cheese is not as good as drugs now.
Not as good. No, we don't put it that way.
Well, I don't use drugs anymore, but I'm just saying, like, I'm sorry.
I got you.
Say, that's honest opinion.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. As on the spectrum of cheese to drugs, I believe it was the Ninja Turtles who had a poster that I previously held, which said, say no to drugs, say yes to pizza. So, you know.
Yes.
And what does pizza crack? Have? Cheese.
What about crack?
Oh, Lord. I sent you guys.
Is that Ian Rohde? Is that Ian?
Yes. Yes. Ian Rohde.
Is that recent? Is that recent?
No, there's no way that's recent.
No, that's got to be from 2021, but it was a recent upload. But I just, that was the thumbnail, and I saw it, and I texted it to Johnny and my brother, and I was like, crack kills.
Kills towns, too, yeah.
Well, yeah. Donnie, we found the truck stop show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I gotta see that. We gotta watch that. Was that the one Thomas Rodman was on that, too?
I don't know, I gotta look.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. That was Dennis's show, right? The truck stop?
Yeah.
That was one of the, I can't even believe we did that. Like, looking back, we did a goddamn show at a truck stop.
Yep. Yep.
It's and exactly what you think. We got to do a watch along on that one night.
That's what I was about to say. Let's do a watch along on that.
And I won't watch it. I won't watch it until that night. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that in over 30 years, probably. But when you want to watch it, we'll watch it. And I'll give you my honest review. Because I unfortunately, I'm probably the one who booked most of it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Wait,
so you booked Icon, who is John Zandig, against Doug Gilbert with Jim Cornette?
Yes. Because so Dennis you, asked me. Yeah.
So you are the man who is responsible for the precursor of Ultraviolence, Donnie. It was you.
We had to, because every show he gave Dennis between $500 and $600 worth of sold tickets, but yet he would get no pop when he came out. I couldn't figure it out. Dennis turned to me one day and said, "He's buying all the tickets." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he's buying. I don't care where the money comes. He's giving me $500 or $600 a show in ticket money." And I said, "Nobody gives a shit when he comes out." And he said, "No, he's buying them." So we just let him keep doing it. True story.
Tommy, you realize Donnie and Zandig are like me and Violent J with you, right? Like, I can't listen to Donnie say that about John, because now I feel like John's going to get mad.
Well, there's nothing to get mad about. It's
I know
the
it's the truth. I mean, but
yeah, he can get mad. I don't dislike the guy. I have no issue, no heat, no nothing. Like, I wish him well in whatever he's doing. But it's unless Dennis was lying to me, I was there. Right. They announced them. There was no reaction, but yet hundreds of dollars were given to Dennis every show. So do the math. Unless people bought tickets and they didn't show up. I'm sure it was a 5-star match.
So you booked Pondo and Ian too?
Yeah, we did for a while because we were doing an exchange. We were going down there for some shows, and then we brought them up here. And actually, that was one of the funnest trips I ever did with Dennis. And that little trivia here, that was the weekend that Princess Diana died. And we were brought into the show, and they did an NWA invasion angle. And this is on tape somewhere. I can't even believe this was real. But they lowered the lights, and they were doing a 10-bell salute for Princess Diana. And there was about maybe 300 people, 350, whatever it was. And Dennis said, "Follow me. We're going to go out to the ring after the 10-bell, grab the mic, cut a promo." I said, "Okay." They start ringing the bell. It's on like 2 or 3. And all of a sudden, on the mic, you hear, "F that bitch." And Dennis comes out and he had a big picture of Princess Diana, and he ripped it up and threw it up in the air. And didn't tell me he was going to do it. That happened on the way to the ring, dude. I thought we were going to get killed. That happened. Oh, wow. I was standing right next to Dennis when it happened. We were walking out to the ring. I couldn't believe it.
So, Johnny, what we were basically just told is that 10 bell salutes being interrupted at wrestling shows to get heat is nothing old.
No, it's acceptable.
Or it's nothing, or it's nothing new, rather.
It's acceptable.
No. I couldn't believe it. I thought we were going to get killed, legit. There was an old woman in the front row who had an electric wire from, like, the phone company, and it was braided like a cat of nine tails. And on the end of the brass, she had these big lug nuts from, like, a tire, and that's what she was trying to hit us with. She was trying to whip us with it, dude.
Wow.
Wow.
True story. Yeah.
Jesus. So, Donnie, while you're here still, I don't know if you can stay the whole time or not.
Until my daughter comes, a couple minutes.
All right, here's one for you that you got to see, because I know you know him. Mark Henry threatens to expose AEW's issues behind his exit if they speak out about him. We have a cold war. A cold war has sprung out.
What would they... I don't know anything about this at all. I love Mark Henry. I can't imagine what issues there were. Why would they speak out about him? I don't know,
but
he has no idea.
Seems like he's preemptively gagged them. It's quite a brilliant move. It's almost presidential, Phil.
Mark's contract was up. They decided to go their separate ways. When Mark was there, as far as I know, he was treated well. I do know a lot of his stuff probably fell on deaf ears, and he tried to use his experience to make the company better. But as far as exposing issues, I don't think – everybody can kind of see the issues. I don't know what would be exposed. I'm not a fan of talking about issues that are in-house.
Right.
I'm just not, especially if you both go your separate ways and at the time of the split, it's very amicable. I don't like going back retroactively and saying, but I'm going to say this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you leave and you say, "I wish them all the best," and that's cool, and you're leaving, I'm not a fan of trying to go back in time and say, "Well, if they talk shit on me, I'm going to talk shit." But
right.
I'm on Mark's. I love Mark. I'll never say a bad word about Mark.
Yep. Just interesting. Just interesting. I like stuff like this. It keeps it interesting, at least, is how I look at it. Now, I could see Mark pulling up in one of these babies. Have you seen this, you guys?
What is Tommy, that?
Jeez. Absolutely, because I know he has a Hummer. So I
right,
totally
but look at the size of that one. How do you even put gas in it? Like, imagine pulling up to the Tesla charge station, how people would look at you.
They shouldn't even be allowed to make vehicles like this anymore, in my opinion, because it's just like, you know, unless they're hybrid, it's just like the amount of gas just to like exactly. fill that thing.
Or the electric to charge it.
I'm pretty sure that's the only one. I would imagine that's the only one in existence.
It is. Yeah. It's custom.
And how much it's never driven, yeah.
How Skills, much let me ask you this. Skills, you know cars. If you had to just venture a guess off the top of your head, how much would one of those tires cost?
Probably like 150,000 or something.
That's for exactly what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
And how much would that whole regular Hummer cost?
The regular Hummer or the Monster Hunter?
The regular Hummer. It'd be under 150, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So one tire on the big one is worth more than the entire small one. Guess I shouldn't call it a small one. Here's some more wrestling stuff. You're going to like this one, Thomas.
Let's see.
Hulk Hogan's always been a liar. Whatever he tells you is probably not true, Bret Hart said.
You know,
that's probably true.
But at the same time, I'm not trying to make Terry seem like the good guy, but I'm Terry. Sort of old. I'm sort of tired of old man Bret. Because it's just like, it's like you go to Canada and it still might as well be 1997. So it's just like, you know, like Brett's phenomenal in the ring and whatnot, but I'm tired of hearing him complain all the time.
I don't understand why this is news. Like, everybody knows that Wood is a worker. You know what right. I mean? He's the greatest worker of all time. So right. I don't, why would anybody at this point care or listen? Like, I respect everything he did in the business. He's the biggest name of all time, in my opinion, but I could care less what he's telling people now, what versions of his truth are. Who gives a shit?
Exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Wood's a worker.
There's somebody in hip-hop who does the same thing right now. His name is Fat Joe, and he does the same thing. He always coming up with these stories that people be like, no, you're lying. Like, there's no way. And he does it all the time, and he goes viral a lot. So maybe Hogan trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, man. If you tell a lie enough over and over, sooner or later, somebody will buy it and say, oh, that must be true. Andre was 600 pounds at WrestleMania 3, you know.
Right. I'm gullible. I'll believe it.
See?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I love Hulk. Everyone does. I don't know. I think Hogan's still got something, man. You know who'd be a good guest ref for these two? Right there. Boom.
There you go.
Guest ref. Hell yeah. So how about this?
As long as it's not Hebner.
No, it can't be Hebner again. Although the way wrestling is, it would be. It absolutely Hebner. Would be. All right. Check this out. Disney reduced the down payment for new annual passes from $205 to only $99.
Wow.
Good. Good.
So
you got to live there.
Yeah, you have to live in Florida.
You have that Florida residency for an annual pass. So, I mean.
Okay. So.
Oh, all right, boys. So, I got to cut out.
All right, Donnie.
Peace out.
Peace,
bye.
Donnie.
Bye, folks.
See you, buddy. Have a good one. Get in, he said. He's funny.
No, but see, that's a good thing, because it's like you go to Disney. It's like they want you. It's like you got to pay to like breathe, or you got to pay to flush the toilet out there sometimes.
If I had $99, I would do a Gabe Sapolsky seminar. I wouldn't go to Disney World. That's just me. But I can't stop looking at this.
I'm so happy that I sent that to you guys.
I mean, it's just, it's going to be hanging on my wall. Like, this is just beautiful.
So now I understand. So there's this student at Wrestling Revolver. His name is Big Pound. And I guess about 11 years ago, he was in a viral internet thing because he was a Magic the Gathering tournament guy and was making fun of how people would dress and wouldn't cover up their buttholes, and started taking pictures next to people's buttholes. And on Reddit, like, I just looked at one, they're like upvoted like 45,000 times and all sorts of insane. Got banned from doing Magic the Gathering because he was body shaming people. Got unbanned, like, crazy. And I didn't know anything about this until Revolver posted one of the pictures, censored out the butthole, and was like, you know, this guy, that's Big Pound. And I was like, what is this? And like, people were all over it. Like,
wait a minute. So Big Pound is the guy who got banned from Reddit or banned from Magic the Gathering because he was going around and basically thumbs upping next to everyone's asses.
Yep.
Is That's this over. Man a juggalo, Tommy?
I need. I need to find out if he is. That's a good question.
We need to find out if he's a juggalo. But first of all, all right. We need to just pin the thumbnail. Like just pin it. We'll have a discussion.
You need to get this guy to the gathering. Period. If it's real, if this whole butthole fetish is real, he's going to be out of his mind at the gathering. We got to.
Phil, let's make it happen.
I don't know how much was a fetish or just him taking advantage of it.
I saw more buttholes at the gathering than I've ever seen in my life, and I used to work at a strip club, guys. Check this out. The Fire Pro backseat pack. Tommy, you like this?
I love this, man, because they actually took, like, our three faces. I don't know what they did for Trent's face. Like, he looks like Tito from Rocket Power in the face. Tito! He looks like, pull that picture back up. Tito. Like, literally, he looks like he's saying, aloha, little cousins.
Yes.
Not yo, cuz. He looks like
it's
he's Yaya saying,
oh. Champion.
Yes.
And I look like Anthony Bowens. Like, have me in a batting cage, and I'm Anthony Bowens.
You got some EC3 in there.
Some EC3? Yes, I do.
You got some EC3 in there. Like, they literally, they had to have taken mine and Justin's faces because, like, the uncanniness is, like, on some uncanny X-Men type-ish. But...
Yes.
The but thing that I don't... So my hips... But the thing that I don't get is I've only worn the black tape a handful of times. So I'm curious as to, like, what was the reference point for, you know, my... for my arms, because they gave me like the black wrist tape, but then they gave Trent the white. So, but I mean that's really it. I noticed that they have a really pronounced codpiece for all of us.
I think I have maple leaves on my knees, right? A little bit,
slightly.
That's what that is? It looked like roses or something.
No, they're bricks. It's got to be bricks.
Oh. Right. I think they're supposed to be the bricks.
It's supposed to be the bricks. I love that they gave Trent the looped belt.
And yes, they did.
The seat belts.
Those belts were in style in 2001. I had like three of them.
I miss those belts, truthfully.
You do?
I kind of wish.
Well, bring them back.
The looped belts, yeah.
Bring them back.
Well, because some of them you could get next door to the arena at Foreman Mills.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, guys, we're going to be on Radiant. I don't know if I told you yet. We're going to be we're going to have a pay-per-view. So on the 27th, right there. Yep. Go to Radiant TV in your app store and check it. It's a free app, and I believe it's only going to be a $5 pay-per-view, $4.99.
Can't beat that.
That's right.
That's
main awesome. Event is worth it alone.
Yes. And it'll be hosted by Rich Poe, and Elena Mizrnaya will be there, as you know. Plus, we have, of course, Tay Rock and Velcro's first time as a tag team in a match against Declan Grant and Christian Ross, managed by my brother Robbie. Gotch versus Gulak for the first time. We're going to try to get Gotch on here shortly. If we can't get Gotch on tonight, we'll get him on tomorrow, if he might be at training still, is what I'm thinking. But, check this out. Check out Radiant. And guys, soon we're going to have an announcement about the Spocast. The Spocast might be moving to Radiant soon too. So let's keep our fingers crossed and keep the good energy going and keep numchucking our way to good vibes. Right, brother?
Definitely. Every day.
That's it, man. I love it. Every day.
Every day. Yeah. He's the key.
Have a positive
Wait, Robbie's night. Saying Trent looks like Zandig on the Fire Pro thing. Let's look at this. Yes. It's like Zandig and like
Robbie, what it do?
You know what he looks like? He looks like the guy that was born from the ground in the Lord of the Rings. The guy they pulled out of the ground and he was like the leader.
Sauron?
Yeah. I see the fate, like see the eyebrows and stuff. Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that
he
was
looks very he looks very creature-ish.
He does. And he is a creature, so That makes sense. Good stuff. So, guys, I have one more thing. This is a Philly thing for you guys. Let me get that comment off. So, check this out. This epitomizes Philadelphia, guys. You ready? Brandon Marsh has zero hits in his last 22 at-bats. What's Philly going to do about it? How about nothing? That's terrible that they do this. This is how Philly is, guys. He's had a 1.2 batting average. You realize like a 0.25 batting average is awesome.
No. Like,
hard. All he's got to do is get a few hits and he's back on track. Yeah. But the city's got to
No big deal.
The city's got to put him on blast. Come on. Look at the guy. He puts eye makeup on.
You Philadelphians are miserable.
It's sad. So what if he didn't get a hit, right?
Yeah, start off cold.
You know what they say, a hit is a hit.
And baseball's like that. You go to your cold streaks, and then you go through your hot streaks, and then more cold than anything. So he just needs to pick it up a little bit. Well, a lot.
Yeah, a lot is right. So, Phil, tell me about your weekend.
Tell me about your what?
Tell me about your weekend. I saw you were putting pictures on Instagram up of your hotel room view on Saturday or Sunday.
Was up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania at Wrestle Party 360. It was their first event ever. Ran out of Telus 360, which is this amazing bar nightclub in Lancaster. It was just an amazing time, and it floored me because it was mostly standing room only. There was premium seating for a very small audience, and everybody else was standing. And they just kept up their energy the whole night. The fans really, if you want to talk about fans making an event, wow. Like, just so much energy the whole night. It was a really cool experience.
Nice. Good. I'm glad you had fun. Good stuff. Skills, what about you, bro? Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling better now, but I wasn't feeling too great this weekend and shit. So, you know, just kept it inside and rested. You know, next weekend is a different story.
Same with you, right, Tommy? You got a big weekend coming up, right? It's WrestleMania time.
Yeah, we're flying out for WrestleMania week in Las Vegas. We'll be out there from Thursday to Sunday. You can catch us at the WrestleCon, and the back seats are going to be doing America.
Awesome. Now, I got to tell you guys, back seats, I'm very proud of you. You did not put out a social media graphic saying backseat boys available for bookings in Las Vegas. You know, you might as well hang outside people's cars with a tin can asking for change, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, you know, this was the first time that I should say that the Mania season sort of just like fell into my lap or, you know, my brother's lap. So, you know, I don't want to spoil any goodwill, you know. I would rather have, you know, one or two things to do and keep myself open for whatever shenanigans are going to be going down than be out here. And it's like you said, you know, like panhandling for bookings. It's like, no, like if that's how you're going to be going about it, that's bad business. You know, why is anyone going to want you on a show if you're like making it known? It's like, hey, I'm going to be available. I'm going to be available. It's like, okay.
So, Phil, there's... what do you think of that? Am I being a C word here, or is should a wrestler have enough is it a question of dignity? Is it undignified for a wrestler to put out a press release basically saying, hey, I'm available for WrestleMania bookings, everyone? Like that,
well,
to me.
What happened, you know, a few years ago when, you know, the first couple of people did it, it was like, not that it was like novel, but at the same time, it was like, oh, okay. And it did make some people pay attention. But at the same time, I think that I'm going to get slapped for this when I feel it coming. I feel like around WrestleMania weekend, there were a lot fewer independent events in that same city, and right. They were a much higher caliber, like there was a higher bar. And even for the first few years when a lot of that was really happening, you would see the same people on all of those events. They were rotating between like 14 events for that weekend. And it was also a little overkill too. But now it's like all of these groups that are really like It isn't a spot show, which one way I appreciate. They're trying to respect their own people, their own roster. They're putting on like, hey, come see. I don't want to name a name because I'm not trying to dog anybody, but it's just like, come see our roster, our guys while you're here in town. And I'm like, that's cool. I do like that. I think that makes sense. You're having a whole bunch of fans in town come see it. I do think it feels a little watered down because now you're going to have to choose between the five promotions that are running at the same time. For in most cases, JCW is not running at the same time as anybody else that I can think of off the top of my head.
Like, barely anyone else.
Right. So like, good call. Right. So there's people like that that are going to stand out. JCW is going to have a solid event.
They always do.
Yeah. But I mean, you know how it is as a talent, you need to find any way you can to get yourself out there. But I don't think you need to. I don't think it's necessarily should make you look bad if you do it. I chuckle at the ones now that are like putting them up going nowhere near WrestleMania this weekend.
I think we need to take all the WrestleMania graphics that people put out and judge them and rate them in order of graphics are better and worse. Some of them are great. Some of them are good. Like Channing Decker put out a good one. I got to admit it. It was very nice. It was very nice.
Look at it now.
Yeah. And Decker, you know, you can't fault him for it. God bless him. He's been traveling the world.
And he looks like a million bucks. So like,
and he looks like a million bucks. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of looking like a million bucks, guys, let's bring him in here. The one and only Simon Gotch. What's up, brother?
Oh, you're muted.
Your mic is muted.
Yeah, his mic's muted. Let me see if I can unmute it.
Now, here's the real question. Is my mic picking anything up?
Say it again.
It's unmuted. Is my mic picking anything up? Or is
yeah,
it
you are. You are. You
sound good. Sound good. So what's good, bro? How was the recent traveling and stuff?
I mean, which part of it? I was just up in New York. Warriors of Wrestling, me and English tagged up. Then I think a week before that.
Japan?
I think I was here. I think I was... that was about a month and a half ago, maybe.
Seems like only yesterday, bro.
My concept of time has completely been destroyed. I don't know when anything happened. I work a lot off routine, so when routine is interrupted, or when routine gets too dialed in, I tend to really lose track of time. I don't know how long has passed.
So. Fair.
I've been around. Yeah. I've been around some
Nice, bro. So we were just talking about when people put out, graphics that say we're available for WrestleMania weekend. I remember when no wrestling feds followed WrestleMania around at all. And I'm starting to think that maybe over the next few years, we're going to see SummerSlam. We'll start having it. And then eventually the major five. And then before you know it, every pay-per-view is going to have it is what I'm thinking. You think that might happen one day?
Not every pay-per-view. It'll probably top out at the big four or the big five, however you want to put it. I know there have been events around SummerSlam and the Royal Rumble already. The real holdout is Survivor Series. I don't even really think that's considered a major pay-per-view anymore.
Unfortunately,
right?
Yeah, like it. Well, I personal opinion, I don't mind it. I'm not a fan of the gimmick match pay-per-view. I never have been. I don't like the Royal Rumble. I get it's a tradition. I accept that one because it has a greater implication on the overall year of storytelling. But like Hell in a Cell, TLC, Extreme Rules, Survivor Series. I just feel like the thing that makes most gimmick matches cool is you don't know when they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a feud heating up. And, you know, we've beaten each other every which way we can in the ring. Now we're going to put a cage up to make sure nobody can get in, nobody can get out, and we have to finish this. Or maybe the cage didn't do it, so we got to do the Hell in a Cell. Or maybe the Hell in a Cell didn't do it, now we're going to do a barbed wire match. Like, there was always an elevation to the next part of the story. I there's a clip floating around online. I saw it the other day, again, of Trey Parker and Matt Stone talking about how they write. And they said, the way your story should flow, something should happen. And the way they phrase it is, if you follow something happening with, and then, hold on a second.
we'll talk amongst ourselves for a minute. He's a family man and a good man. And I just told him today or yesterday that we needed him on here. So he's probably got something he's doing in there.
Hey, I'm going to head out, guys. Is that cool?
Yes, bro. Thank you for your help, man.
All right.
Thanks, nice to see you, Nunchuck Tyler.
Really appreciate the support, man. All of you guys.
Thank you for hanging good out luck, so brother. Long.
God bless you, man.
Yeah, God bless you too. Have a good day, guys.
Peace. So
good stuff. I love that everything's so lax here. We'll get Simon back eventually.
I actually saw Simon a couple weeks ago at ALW in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
We were talking about losing concept of time.
Oh, my cousin. Yeah. Well, no, I was talking about the gimmick tickets.
Yes.
I just feel they've lost their value but if we're talking about really doing the events around pay-per-views, I was on a show in 2019, I want to say, around the Royal Rumble in Atlanta. No, it was around the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It was around the Super Bowl. Jesus. Yeah. I think they've done ones around the Rumble and SummerSlam, but I totally forgot that.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. That's why it was so weird, because it was in February, and that was when it was a three-way hardcore tag match. Me and Eddie Kingston versus the Besties in the World, which are a tag team from the Midwest, versus Tom Waller and the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a match. That was the best that happened.
Did you lock up with Shamrock?
We had no opportunity to, just because the way the match was structured, everyone sort of broke off because it was falls kind of anywhere or whatever. So I wound up, I think, fighting with Tom Waller for the most part.
How did you stack up next to him? Like, you standing next to Shamrock, who's taller?
I think we're about the same height. He's like six foot one. Like, he's not a small guy.
Right.
But the thing is, he's so damn wide. Like, he's one of those guys. He's got a thickness to him.
Right.
So but again, it's like, when I joke about it, because he and I didn't even touch in the match, but I will joke that when I list off the impressive people I've wrestled, because I've wrestled like two former Kings of Pancrase, like three former UFC heavyweight champions, like UFC light heavyweight champions, like it's a rather surprising list. Shamrock aside, I've wrestled. Oh yeah, I got Drew Gulak on that.
Yeah, we're gonna get your thoughts on that in a minute, but don't let me stop you. Go ahead, brother.
Oh no, but I've wrestled Frank Mir. I joke that I have the same loss record against Frank Mir as Brock Lesnar. We both lost to Frank Mir one time. I don't have the win over him, but I have the loss. Let's see. Kazushi Sakuraba, Masakatsu Funaki, Tom Lawler, Matt Riddle, Matt Mikowski, like literally guys who fought in Elite XC, guys who fought like a surprising number of them. So yeah, that's just weirdly, the one I haven't gotten was Minoru Suzuki. That's still the one that I can't seem to get a match with. I can't do that. But that is like the guy. Every one of their mothers seems to wrestle Suzuki now except for me.
I noticed that. Hint, hint, Johnny. That would be good. You and Ishii.
It would be great. I just wouldn't wish the flight bill on you. That's all.
Right.
Exactly. But as for Drew, Drew's another guy that I've never actually wrestled. And we've both been around for a really long time. Because I think if he's not at 20 years, he's coming up on 20 years.
I'm sure
he's coming up on 20 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he debuted in like 2003, 2004, something like that. Right. I've been around since 2001. So we've both been around for 2 decades plus, but neither one of us have, we've just never been in the same place at the same time and had a match. So it's interesting for that. We have very similar backgrounds as far as like stylistically and influences. And it's very much like the journeyman. He's the East Coast journeyman. I'm the West Coast journeyman. You know, it's an interesting dynamic that I don't think you're going to get a lot. And I will say the one thing I bring to the table that not a lot of people don't realize is there are a lot of first time matches with me that have never happened. There are good matches out there that no one has seen because no one booked. So it is a somewhat unique, because it's a unique thing I offer, because you see a lot of the guys now who are in my age bracket, in my experience bracket, and you go, well, I've seen this guy on Ring of Honor for 10 years. He's wrestled everybody. I've seen this guy in New Japan for the last 5 years. He's wrestled everybody. I've seen this guy. And, you know, yeah, they have. I haven't. You know, I love Brody King to death. Nate is a good dude. He's actually friends with my brother outside of wrestling. And in his relatively short career, because I don't even think Brody's at 10 years. I think he's only been wrestling like 6 or 7. I want to say he started in like 2017, 2018.
Wow.
COVID but baby. But he's wrestled damn near everybody at this point.
Well, you were in a tag team for a lot of that too, don't forget. So, of course, you weren't having, you know, these singles matches.
Out of 24 years, I was only in a tag team for 4. I was actually technically only in a tag team for 3.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Me and Matt didn't start tagging until we got put together in 2014, I think. Yeah. I've been in the NXT for 1 year. He'd been there for, I want to say, 2 or 3 years at that point. But I was only in the tag team for 4 years, or for 3 years. And then I got released, and he didn't get released for another 3 years after that, I want to say. I released in 2017, he got released. For him. Yeah. No, majority of my career, I was a singles wrestler. I really only did tag stuff with him.
But at no point you and Drew Gulak were in the same under the same roof?
The closest I think we ever got would have been Chikara in 2009 when he did King of Trios. But I don't even know if he was there. Like, he might be one of the ants. Hang on for 1 second. I got to check something. I apologize.
Yeah, sure. No, go ahead. No, I love it. We'll talk amongst ourselves about you.
This is so great. I did look it up. Gulak actually had his debut, it says, on the 16th of April, 2005. So we actually are coming. We're 2 days shy of Drew Gulak's 20-year wrestleversary.
Wow.
Wow.
So believe it or not, this weekend will be within his 20-year wrestlingversary. So
wow.
It's very wow. Cool.
That's crazy. Did you guys see that? It's a real animal, just a little reaction. Now, would you guys rather see that, or would you rather see this when I need to make a reaction at it? Would you rather
I'd rather see that.
That's ugly, but that's even uglier. So, okay. Welcome back, Simon.
Thank you. I actually, in the spirit of being rotten, I think I pitched for you my WrestleMania weekend show that I really want to see someone below.
What?
I probably told you this before. I've probably done it on the show, actually. But I still really want the throwback indie show. So here are the rules, all right? First of all, the whole thing is shot on Super 8. It's shot on like a high 8 camera. 4:5 ratio. None of this widescreen HD bullshit.
Yeah, that'll teach you.
It can be put online later, so on DVD. But here's the deal. Rule number one. If you were on the indies at that time, you have to use your indie name from that time.
Okay.
Rule number two. This is the only gear you're allowed to wear. Something you purchased at Hot Topic. Something you bought pre-made off High Spots. A pre-made singlet or karate pants. That's it. Then you can have either wrestling shoes or pre-made boots or the plain cloth kick pads. All right? And then everyone has to come out to either Nu Metal or Gangster Rap. Nothing older than 2003.
Oh my God!
Wait!
Head droppy finishers. That's all we're allowed to do.
What was that?
They're
head droppy finishers. That's all. It's like head drop. Assault driver, pick the guy up, Death Valley driver on the fucking floor. Pick the guy up, chicken wing pile driver.
And selling it's optional.
I'll have to extend him by 2 years on the music technicality because I'm also OCD like that. And I'm also going to have to get him on the genre technicality because you know for a fact that there are people that are coming out to something off Pearl Jam or Soundgarden or Nirvana or something at that point too. So, mm-hmm. You know, just a slight little technicality in that regard.
Yep. I think I had brain stew about that time and then something from Jimmy Eat World.
Sure.
Not in the middle, but there was something by Jimmy Eat World.
And also we forgot the studded choker necklaces and the heavy amounts of hairspray.
Mm. And next week, guys, Big Rel is going to be here. We're going to talk to Big Rel. We're going to meet him next week. We have some other guests. And tomorrow night, right here, same time, you can always search at Spocast on YouTube to find us. 7 p.m. Tuesday, it's going to be Spo City Episode 2, me and my brother Robbie. We have Black Dahlia confirmed, as well as a major surprise guest. And the major surprise guest will be there right at 7 o'clock. So be there tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Last bit of wrestling trivia, only because I have it right here, and I think it was Robbie trying to get himself over again, but it's all good. I'll give it to him. Drew Gulak's debut was Blackout, Maven Bentley, Robbie Marino, and Sabian, better known today as Black G's, taking on DJ Hyde and Drew Gulak.
Now we know why Robbie asked.
And the and the exact show.
No. I'm good for right now.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just worried if I'm going to exit like that.
I know
this is a real environment and you guys don't mind, but you know how I am with my brain. Just, I get that, like, I really am trying to get everything done. And
you're good.
I've got, like, five things going on at once.
It's all right, man. It's no big deal. Just.
But you guys are correct in the sort of things you can do. You got to wear the ball studded chain or the ball studded necklace or whatever it is.
Yes,
that's what it was. The balls, not studs,
the ball studded chain, which I'm guilty of wearing. Okay, so listen, I'll be perfect for this show.
But I just think it would be funny. I don't know what to call it. But again, it's like I just think if you're going to do a gimmick show, to me that would be a genuinely fascinating one because I think a lot of people really don't understand what the indies actually looked like 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And there's this weird sense of nostalgia for something they've never seen and they don't really understand. And if you hear the horror
story, if they saw it, they were in the crowd.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, like I said, with Drew, it's a unique opportunity to do something different for both of us. It's a chance to wrestle somebody who is.
Yep.
Good stuff, bro. I ran the seminar there at Catchpoint, and his kids are great. It's a great school. So, you know, it'll also be nice to sort of get to, you know, demonstrate some of what I was teaching them while going up against their regular coach.
Good stuff. Good stuff, man. And you and Drew. You got along at that? Obviously, he was in the building. You guys got along, and
oh yeah, no, he's also one of the few people who gets when I make a joke about what's his face, Victor Zangief. He's one of the few people that appreciates and understands.
Okay.
So if you don't know, Victor Zangief is the guy that Zangief in Street Fighter was based on. He was a Soviet era. Oh yeah, he's a Soviet era wrestler. Who also did pro wrestling. Like he wrestled for UWFI in Japan. He wrestled for New Japan. He actually wrestled in WCW on a couple occasions in like 88 or 89, like right at the end of the Cold War. But he used to do, so you've seen Dave's cavalry relation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would lock that on. He'd flip into it. And then he would walk. He'd spider walk around the guy three times. And then come out into a reverse armbar.
Wow.
It was nuts. Dude was an absolute... But I'm just fascinated by guys who like had an impact in another country to the point where 35, 40 years after they stopped competing actively, whatever it winds up being, the Japanese still reference. You know, same thing with Vader or Stan Hansen. Like, he's still referenced in Japanese culture. It's crazy.
Now, our buddy Danger Ross of Live Dangers over there right now in Japan. And what did he say? He had to pay for a shower, Tommy? He had to pay like $18 to take a shower or something?
I think that was the report that apparently they wanted like $15 or something to get in the shower or for him to get a shower.
Jeez.
Gee whiz. What happened to the days of the elephant in the window?
Well, they never had elephants.
Unreal.
Got to take one of those gathering showers.
That's what happened. Ones. They never had them.
That's Thailand. But here's the thing. Where was he exactly, and what was the context of his shower?
We got to find that out. I don't know. I haven't talked to him yet.
I think he was in Hawaii.
On his way back, he probably stopped in Hawaii. That's my guess. He probably laid over in Hawaii on the way back.
You really have to pay to shower there? That's whack.
But was it an in-airport shower place?
if it was in the airport, that's different.
Yeah,
I think it might have been.
That's completely different. When I was in the city, the only shower I ever had to pay for was like 200 yen, which is like $1.60.
You know, in the Philly airport, there's little rooms you can pay for just to sit in peace. You just sit in a little room, pay by the hour. They leave you alone. An alarm goes off when you got to get out of there. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what goes on in those rooms?
Nothing good.
I imagine it's like a conjugal visit.
It's exactly what it is. I would go in. I wouldn't even want to touch anything, dude. It'd be like Disney World. Don't touch the handrails.
You just figure you gotta. If you're in there, you have to figure it's been cleaned. And if it's not been cleaned, it's something that'll kill you. And if something will kill you, you'll know if you go back.
God. Unreal. All right. Well, before we go, we're all stunted at a certain age. Simon Gotch, what age are you stunted at? I said I'm about 14. What are you?
Well, here's the thing. I've been a grumpy old man since I was born, so I believe this. But I've also, again, been a grumpy old man since I was born. I'm not shocked by this. I don't know, because I didn't read the full article. I have no idea how in-depth it goes with the actual biology of this, or if this is just a claim made. Because I've seen the videos after the fact where the guys talk about it. And I believe it. I think the majority of people on Earth are not particularly...
No.
I think a lot of maturity is a work, for lack of a better term. We think because someone wears a $3,000 watch and a $5,000 Gucci suit that they're mature. Like, no. Maturity is something that's weird, because when we experience it, we acknowledge it, but we don't really understand when we lack it. It's kind of like being charming, or like people say charisma, but all charisma really is unquestioned confidence. I've said that before. But we don't really know what that is until we experience it. We'll say, oh, that guy's really charming, or oh, that person is very charismatic. Mm-hmm. But we're really trying to describe something we lack the emotional maturity to actually explain. So we put the term, I can't remember who said it. The guy's like a tour manager for AC/DC, I think. But he said, God is the blanket you throw over a mystery in the universe.
That's interesting.
If you don't understand something, it's God. Like, that's where he throws it. And the more you understand, you can take the blanket off and put it over something else. Like, that's what it's there for, is to fill that space until we have understanding.
Interesting.
And it's not necessarily an agnostic or an atheistic point of view, as much as, like, the more you know how things work, you can sort of cross the things off and look like, okay, God doesn't actually make this thing specifically happen, the process. Like, it's this and this. We know that now, so we can more accurately interact with it. That doesn't, again, prove or disprove anything. It's just... You know, it's kind of like how we used to think that Earth or the sun was all around the Earth, and we found out we were wrong.
Well, your sound is coming in, but it's not coming in great. But we're pretty much at the end of this. I got to thank you so much for being here, bro. I just want to end. Nah, you're good, man. You're all good, bro. I just want to end with this final thought that I found, and it goes with what you were just talking about. So this is what I found. So consciousness is the new sexy. Inner peace is the new success. And kindness is the new beautiful. I don't know. I think there's some truth to this.
I think this is an idealistic point of view. I had my idealism beaten out of me over the last 5 years or so, which led to a huge existential crisis. But I tend to think that people are more shallow, materialistic, and vile than they will ever admit. I think when you get to know somebody, like at their deepest core, you almost cannot be disgusted by them is a real challenge. When a person feels comfortable enough to just sort of talk to you without any sort of filter on, and you go, oh, wow, that's really how people behave. I know a lot of like the cliche now is people going on social media and complain about how, oh, women have changed so much. I don't think women have changed at all. I don't think men have changed at all. I think we've monetized human existence to the point where people are willing to admit these things they previously would have had at least the decency to lie about. And now they just say them publicly. And everyone thinks it's this whole new thing. Like, wait, you mean women care about how you look and how much money you make? Yes. Yes. That's not a new thing. It's just now it is. I mean,
they're starting to admit
they're getting paid. Well, they're getting paid to say the thing. It's like people go, wait, men only care if a woman's pretty and looks good naked. Like, yes. A lot of men really only care about that. Mm-hmm. And it is that simple. I mean, and again, in many, it's across every community, across every social, sexual, whatever variance. A lot of, I think, and again, if this isn't every individual person, but I think people in general are extremely shallow, extremely materialistic, and extremely stupid. And the real problem is we have to communicate with those people at their level. And if you're not at that level, it's hard to. My older brother made an observation about the movie The 4-Year-Old Virgin. This will be the last thing I say. He said the movie's bullshit. And his whole point was you can't play stupid. You can be stupid. But a smart person can't actually act stupid. They can do an impression of it, but they're never going to act stupid. Steve Carell is way too charming and funny for me to believe no woman would have slept with him. So the very premise of the film is that he's a 40-year-old virgin, but it's like he would need to be way more actually socially awkward to pull that off. And he's just not.
But he was in the movie. But he was in the movie, though.
But he was playing it. He wasn't – like when you meet someone who's actually socially awkward, they don't behave like that.
Those guys who they're
so disconnected from reality, like – I hate to use it as a example because I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's like when you see a show like Love on the Spectrum, which is a dating show based around people who are on the autism spectrum.
We know.
Valerie, if you're watching this, we're not watching it.
I'm 95% sure the girl Madison on there, my sister-in-law, actually used to be her caregiver.
Wow.
But the point is that if you see like a couple of the people on the show, they're very much being themselves, but they couldn't fake that behavior. You couldn't fake that sort of the challenges they might have on processing or socially interacting. You can't, you know, fake that. You can't act that way. And any attempt to will always come off as disingenuous. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole deal with stuff like that, is that you can put on the facade, but you can't really be that.
Just got to be your authentic self. I get it. And guys, we're going to end right now. Thank you guys for being on here tonight. Big WrestleMania week. So big show tomorrow night at 7:00. I want to end by showing you guys what I'm going to burn in hell for. Are you guys ready for this?
Yes.
Uneffing Believable posted this for today. This is what I'm going to burn in hell. Why did we do that?